that day you are going to experience walking with the Lord. That even though you go through difficult situations, this is the year you will experience the love of God. You will experience the peace of God. And I sense God is saying that you will sense that I am walking in step with you, that I am with you. Every step that you take, I am taking that step with you. Everywhere that you go, every obstacle that you face, I will be with you. You will know me. You will experience me this year. Father, I thank you for Greg. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his family's life, the whole extended family. Let this be a year, Lord God, where you would move within that family. Where, Father, you would knit them closer to one another. Where, Lord, where they would experience, just as Greg experiences your love and your closeness, Lord God. I just sense that you are going to be tied to the hip. You know, like I can imagine somebody walking with me here, you know, like in a rugby scrum. These guys are essentially tied together when the scrum engages, and you will feel the engagement of the Lord in 2024. So, Lord, bless him and bless his family. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you. Please put your hands together for Miss Catherine. And so I don't have much time left, you know, and so you will, if I go over a bit, you're not going to be too mad at me, are you? No, thank you. I know you say that because you're very kind people. You're probably thinking, oh man, I had an appointment. Don't worry, this is going to be good for you. And so we started our series last week about Emerge. And I'm sensing strongly that, you see, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, as Jesus is about to check out and go into heaven and go to heaven, he calls the disciples and he says, look, go to Galilee and wait for me. And so they went and were at the mountain. And so when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. Some obviously doubted. And it says Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There is no more significant vision than that we have been given. We have been all called, and this is why they call it the Great Commission. We have been commissioned to go out and to make disciples of all nations. And that tells me that wherever we go, there is something that we're carrying. We know that here we are a body of, we're a church body, we're a community. But at the same time, we are all individuals that have been purposed by God to go out. This is the commission that you and I have been given. Some of you, the world that you are in the business world. But that is the world that God is sending you to. And so we have to shift our thinking and understand that, Lord, I am going into a meeting. This business meeting, whatever it may be, I pray that I be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, and that I am aware of what it is that you want to do. Because when we say to the Lord, God, I'm available for you to use me in this space that you have given me, because he has equipped each and every one of us different. Therefore, I need to say, Lord, I'm available for what you want to do in my business, in my family, in this group, in the environment that I have with my children, with my family, with my friends. Use me. And therefore, the Lord is going to begin to use you. You will see that your role is so much bigger than the job that you do, than the business that you run. You will recognize that I am in this office, but I have a mandate to look after the people, which means that I'm going to open up my ears to hear what the Lord is saying so that God would speak through me to the other person. We spoke last week of we've got some vets here. And you know, even when they're looking after a pet that's about to die or that's getting its whatever, its leg fixed, it's more than just that encounter. It's so much bigger than that. And that we need to be aware that, you know, Lord, yes, I'm fixing this thing and God has given you the skills and the ability to do it. But what else? What else is there, Lord, that I am not seeing that I'm supposed to see? When you've got employees, it's yes, they're working for you and that's great, but it's bigger than that. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're going to be going and speaking in tongues and going looking absolutely goofy with your staff, but I'm saying, though, you are an ambassador. An ambassador is always on mission, on assignment to do what the Lord wants to do. And as we do that as a collective, as we do that individually, you will find that as a collective, that's what we will begin to do, to go out and make disciples of all people. And so to emerge is to become known or develop as a result of something. It's to move out or away from something and become visible. I sense that the Lord is saying, this is the year to not be hide behind stuff and to come out and say, Lord, I am going to step in to whatever it is that you have for me. I'm going to listen in. I'm going to trust some more. And so perhaps the next steps for you in your relationship with the Lord might be, Lord, maybe the next step for me is I might take the step to serve in something in your church. The next step for you could be, perhaps I'm going to, if I don't give, perhaps I'm going to start giving. And it's going to be a stretch, but perhaps that what it is, it could be for you. Perhaps I am going to let go of that relationship that is an encumbrance to my relationship with you. Ooh, that's a hard one. Let go of a relationship that's an encumbrance. Is this going to glorify the Lord? But guess what, Lord? Not my will, but your will be done. Ooh, I'm going to let that go. This is the year to stop for us as a church and as individuals to not hide any longer and to come out in the forefront to be everything that the Lord has purposed us to be. We are carriers of hope because of who lives on the inside of us, which means that wherever we go, we take this hope and we freely deposit it in other people's lives. You know, I first came across DNA when I was in the second year of high school, and pronouncing it was an issue then and it's still an issue now. And so we know that DNA is a is a molecule that carries the genetic instructions used in the growth, development, functioning, and reproduction of all known living organisms and many viruses. It's often referred to as the building block of life, and it contains the genetic information necessary for the construction and operation of an organism. And one of the key points of DNA is inheritance. It carries hereditary information from one generation to the next. Offspring inherit DNA from their parents, with variations occurring due to genetic recombination and mutations. This is why when I went to get married, my father, I'm just going to put it out there, my father, because we had to pay a dowry for Miss Tsunami, we had to pay a dowry. And so my dad says, all right, look, I'm going to advance you. I thought my father was going to pay it for me. He said, no, I'll advance you the money. And so he gave me the money, and then I went to Botswana, and then we negotiated with her family, with her mother and her uncles. Then they said, all right, this is the bride price. We paid it in full, which was a good thing. And so I then went back to my father, and I said, you know the money that you borrowed me like 9 months ago? Here is that money back. And he said to me, and this is the reason why I'm saying about DNA, he says, that's okay, you know, you can keep that money because your wife gave you a son that looks like you. You see, DNA carries, you know. So my son, he's got a bit of resemblance to me, so my father was quite happy. But that's what DNA does. It just carries that information through. This is why we're not surprised when our children come out looking like us. You know, so it's a very good thing. A caterpillar carries with it the DNA to become a butterfly. It goes through the process of metamorphosis, breakdown of caterpillar tissues and formation of adult butterfly structures. So there's this whole process that it goes through, very complex process that happens. But as we learn from the caterpillar, there's a process that it undergoes from becoming a caterpillar to a butterfly. As we look to emerge to become everything that God has purposed us to be as individuals and then together as a church, we have to understand that this is a process. You're not going to just spring up one day and say, "Ready, I'm ready to go." No, you're going to, you have to, I think one of the key things you need to do is to be patient with yourself and understand I am on a journey here. I'm not just going to be Mr. Perfect, get it right the first time. It's going to be something that you're going to take a deep breath and say, "You know what, every day, Lord, I'm walking with you, I'm changing." This is why we are very patient with babies when they walk. When they first get up and they start to walk, we never discourage a baby and say, "Oh, you are a useless baby, you can't walk." We never say that. What we do say is, "Come on, baby, keep doing it," because we understand that falling and getting up is actually a part of the process. As you look to work out and say, "Lord, I'm sensing you're calling me to do X," realize that falling and getting up is just a part of the process. And don't be so hard on yourself. When we gave our lives to the Lord, there was a lot of sin in our lives. But guess what? We're in a process of sanctification where every day we're becoming more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn from Gideon. On our way to be what God has purposed, we will experience periods of doubt, fear, settling for less than what he has called us to be. Judges 6, verse 11 to 16 says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath a great tree which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.' 'Sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.' 'But Lord,' Gideon replied, 'how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family.' The Lord said to him, 'I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.'" I wonder, what is your response to God calling you into your purpose? Or even to hear the word, "You mighty warrior," or "You're a, you know, or you're a princess," I guess. What is your response to him? We know what Gideon's response revealed, some unresolved feelings making him doubt God's power and care. These doubts are about God himself and also self-doubt about yourself. Feelings of abandonment. "God, where were you when we're going through all this mess? The Midianites are destroying us." And sometimes we can say, "Lord, where were you when I went through all that drama in my life? And now you come and you say to me, after I've got all this injury and all this issue in my life, you say I can be somebody with a purpose." Discouragement, because you have stepped out on many occasions to do stuff, and guess what? Nothing has happened. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody? You believe in that, "Oh, this, I think the Lord says I should pray for so-and-so, they've got a bad back." And you pray for them, and guess what? Their back is still the same. That can sometimes cause you to not want to pray for anybody's back again. If the Lord says, "Oh, I want you to go pray for somebody's headache," you'd be like, "Lord, I ain't doing that. The last time you asked me to pray for somebody's back, nothing happened." And so sometimes we fail so many times that we have these issues of doubt. And then, of course, we can have fear of stepping out into the unknown. Do I start this business? Do I expand my business? Do I start this course? Do I lead a connect group? Do I perhaps start to tithe? I don't know, if I start tithing, I might not have enough. Those are all genuine things. But what they do is that they hold us back from living a life that is full, that has got so much experience. And sometimes we have doubts about ourselves and the emotions that we feel inadequate, insecure. There is fear and sometimes shame. I may believe that God is all powerful, but my wrestle is that I don't believe I have what it takes to do what he wants me to do. And the problem is that we see our weaknesses and our flaws, therefore we don't do anything. But sometimes I need you to understand, church, that our weaknesses and flaws are not a factor to God. No matter how small or insignificant you may feel, we can grow and become strong when we believe that God chose us and is bigger than any obstacle or personal fault. And so God, what we have to do is that whenever we are facing doubt in our lives, I think that we need to get to a point where we begin to debate with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm scared. Just as Gideon did when he was faced with fear, he constantly interacted with the Lord. And this is why God is our reference point. He's going to give us the courage and the faith that we need for the next step. For the next step. So at every stage of doubt, we need to get the faith and the courage that we need. I'll get Ms. Catherine to come back up. And one of the things we need to do is let's do it afraid. Gideon was so afraid of stepping out to what the Lord asked him to do that he did it at nighttime. He did it at nighttime. And the reason it says he did it at night is because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. What will I say to my wife? I feel the Lord is saying we should do X, Y, Z. We should give this or that. Oh, you know, I'll be scared. You're scared of your family. What will my family say if I want to step out and do something? I want to tell you that courage comes when you take action, not before. There will be no courage that comes before the action. It comes. Courage comes when we start to take the action and not before. Because now your confidence is in God. When you realize the first time you do something, and you will say to yourself, oh, it's not that bad. And so guess what? It gives you confidence to go to the next level and the next level. Are you settling for the status quo in your life? If you're on this journey to be everything that God has called you to be, my encouragement is that you don't travel alone. This is why we encourage people to join Connect groups. This is why we encourage people to join the Zoom Connect. Because sometimes, you see, it's easier to pull back when you're by yourself. Gideon pulled his father's idol down in the middle of the night. So when you're afraid, surround yourself with faithful friends who will not let you compromise. And you see, faithful friends are those who trust first and foremost in God, and they help us do the same. You and I, where we stand this morning as we finish, and I'll get the band to come back up. And can we get Mr. Arush? Because I want us to finish on that that Forever and Amen song. That was dope. Very good. You and I are carriers of hope. Not because of who we are, but of who lives on the inside of us. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power. We take this hope that is on the inside of us wherever he goes. Is Arush coming? Oh, good. Wherever we go, we take this hope. That means that as individuals, all of us, as we exit this place, we are carriers of hope because it's on the inside of us. And that means as we go out, we make deposits into people's lives, wherever we are, not because we're super special, but because of the one that is on the inside of us. We make a deposit. We go somewhere, oh, I'll pray for you. I'll encourage you. I will do this and I'll do that. Because there is a hope that lives. This year, as we come to C3 Fremantle and, of course, C3 Kwinana, this is a house that hope lives. And the reason hope lives, and I know that this is a house of hope, is because all of you are present here today. We would spend a whole week just talking about the things we were doing before the Lord saved us, and which we're not going to do, but you can do that in your connect group. But what it is that hope lives, it's real. This is the hope that is on the inside of us. We are carriers of that hope, the deposit that He has placed in our lives. And so hope lives. God's promises bring hope. And as I close, Hebrews 6 says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by. God took an oath in His own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Abraham waited patiently and received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound Himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge, that's all of us, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Microsoft, they're the ones who made this. They have a guarantee that if this laptop does not work as we said it will work, you can return it and we will refund the full purchase price. It's got a warranty for the parts that will work as they're supposed to work. And if they don't work within perhaps 18 months, there's an 18-month warranty on this. But God has given us His word. Jesus says that, go and be sure of this. I will be with you. He said to Gideon, go in the strength that you have, and you will go and defeat the Midianites. I will be with you. We have a guarantee that as we step out into those things that the Lord wants us to do, that, and remember, we're not judging success here by worldly standards. We are judging success by God's standard. You are only going to be judging the things that the Lord has asked you to do. Did you do what you were asked to do? Did you go out and love somebody? Did you go out and whatever the Lord has asked you to do, that's what He's going to hold you to account for. But He has promised us that He's with us. We are, to an extent, guaranteed success. And so, Father, as we pray this, as we leave this morning, Lord God, I thank You, Father, that we will emerge individually into the things that You have purposed for our lives. And Father, we would emerge as a church, Lord God, that no longer hides, Father, but that would reach out, Father, that we are the church as individuals, that as we leave this place, Father, we carry the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, give us a hunger and a desire for more of You, that we can, and give us an ear to hear when You whisper to us, so that as You speak, we will take the step. And so, Lord, I thank You for Your people, that this is the year, Lord God, of emerging into everything that You have called them to be. For some, Father, it will be a surrender of certain things. For others, it will be the start of something that they haven't done. Father, I pray that you would give them courage and strength to do the things that you are asking them to do. And Father, we all want to hear those famous words, welcome, faithful, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your Father's rest. That is our desire, Lord God, that we can enter into your rest. And so this morning as we finish, and I know we're late, we're going to sing that song. And if you would like prayer, please come to the front. We'll pray for you. But have a wonderful week. And know this, that God loves you. He has placed His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. What a great deposit. And I'm so excited for the things that I'm going to hear that you're going to do as you step out into whatever it is that the Lord, I'm not going to tell you, but the Lord is going to move and speak. You're going to wrestle with the Lord. This is the year you're going to wrestle with the Lord up until He gives you an assurance, up until you are sure of what He wants to do. And so even if you're at high school, God has a purpose for your life. At primary school, He has a purpose for your life. If you are more mature, God has a purpose for your life for every season. So God, thank you in Jesus. Let's worship. And then if you need prayer, come to the front. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week. If you want to attend a Connect group, please see the people that came up here.